Good afternoon, gardeners. You're listening to Garden Planet with Selena and Karen.
Good afternoon, everyone. Hi to Mai.
Hi to Mai. Today, we are going to be talking about sculpture in the garden because we're going to be a bit arty-farty this episode.
Okay. I thought you were going to talk about spiders, but all right, I'm cool with sculptures.
Oh, well,
but anyway, miscommunications all week, eh, Selena?
Oh, dear.
But that's cool. Can we do spiders another day?
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So today, so what have you got for us?
Well, thinking about how... Are you an artistic, creative person, you reckon, Karen?
Some people have said that about me.
Oh, cool.
But I don't see myself as that.
I'm maybe not
the abstract kind.
Oh, okay.
No real direction.
Yeah,
that looks good there.
Yeah. I think most of us are kind of like this, unless we're like working artists. Whatever looks good to us. Well, I was thinking about how there are some gardens that are sort of dedicated to sculpture.
Yes.
But then there's all different kinds of gardens, and how do we make them like look good and, you know, please us, please the eye? And
yeah.
So I thought we'll just have a go at sort
of... I was going to say put plants in them.
Yeah.
But I feel like you're going to go a bit further than that today.
Yeah, explore that idea of like the garden as a work of art.
Okay.
And yes, put plants in them. But there might be other things you want to decorate your garden with as well. So there'll be that, and then I'll go on to like sculptural plants.
Oh, yes. Interesting. Okay.
So, and then we'll have our plant of the week.
Yes.
Which I hear is a very sculptural plant. Well,
you could, yes. I think it could be. What you're going to have to define what a sculpture is, Selena.
Sculpture is like when you're thinking about shapes, volume,
it's
texture.
A very textured. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. It is a very textured, shapely plant, and it spreads.
Yeah,
it's stout.
And also think about colour as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's green.
Well.
And the flowers are not, but did you remember which one? You do.
Yeah.
Okay, so have you got any of this? Can I say what it is?
Oh, let's do the big reveal. What is it?
Okay, it's Schefflera digitata, or also known as seven finger plant.
No, I don't have that.
Okay. But, it's definitely, you notice it's there. It's got a presence, that's for sure.
Mm.
Yeah. That's why I thought, you know what? I've got quite a few of them, and I thought, I'm going to talk about that.
Okay, cool.
But we'll talk about your thing for a bit first, and then when we've had enough, we'll bring in the seven
Stop
finger.
The show.
Stop it! <Alex!
laughs> Okay, the Auckland Botanic Garden actually has like a sculpture festival in their garden every year, and artists go and like they produce works to put in the garden and then invite everyone to have a look and vote for the best one.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you've ever been there.
Nope.
Well, it's kind of cool because all the sculptures are very, you know, different and unique and interesting to look
at. So you've been?
Yep. Not this year though. Other years I've been. It's quite fun.
Any ones that you remember in your mind that stuck out? Like,
I'm kind of like, look at the ones that I remember. This one artist did make something out of old spades and forks.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and made like.
I like those ones that are made out of like. So it's a whole, there's a vast spectrum of sculptures.
Anything,
it's
really.
Not just someone that's like really good at like moulding or metalwork or whatever. It could be
out of wood, it could be out of metal.
Yeah.
Or it could be even out of plants.
Do they have like a theme like of the event? Like maybe one year it's got to be like, look like a human form or anything like that?
Anything,
or is it just whatever?
Goes. It's whatever floats your boat.
Okay.
So There's also, if you're really into sculpture, there's a place called the Sculpturium up near Matakana. And that is totally dedicated to one man's collection of sculptures, which is, he's got outside artistically arranged in a kind of garden.
So is it like at his abode?
He bought a whole plot of land to make the special sculpturium to house
his
collection.
Did you know that place we went to in Brick Bay in Matakana?
Oh, yes.
For lunch that time.
Yeah.
They had sculptures in that sort of winery So it's not that one.
Not that one. It's a separate one. It seems everyone's kind of very arty up that way.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have sculpture gardens galore.
Yeah. So my mum, she's obviously living up there. Oh, maybe not to the listeners. But so for you and I, my mum lives up those ways. And she's suddenly like a painter, you know. She's really good, though.
Oh, good.
So it's funny.
Your mum is very artistic.
So if
you enjoy the sculpture, try heading up that way. There's plenty to see up there. There's even the Gibbs Farm up Kaipara way, which is not actually a garden. It's just outdoor.
Apparently it's really cool. My son keeps going on and on. He's not into, like, sculptures per se, but he keeps saying, when are we going to Gibbs? I think one of his friends went and they said it was cool.
Yeah.
And, yes, that reminds me. So, Kaipara, okay, so that's not too far.
No.
And I don't think it sounds very expensive.
No, what they do is they only open certain days.
Yeah.
And then you need, like, to book or have a ticket. You don't have to pay, but there's only certain days that they're open.
Oh.
Because I went there early this year, got invited. And it was amazing.
Oh, yeah. I've heard, good things about the place.
But it's like a giant has left his toys lying around.
Oh, fun.
Because the sculptures are so ginormous. But it's kind of, it's not really a farm, but there are animals on it, like giraffes and things.
What?
I know.
Like a giraffe?
There's very exotic animals there. Like, they've been keeping them, like, the zoo has sent them on holiday there or something.
Oh.
And they just hang around. Well, they're fenced off, of course, but...
Yeah.
He keeps...
Is it just, like, open in the summer or...?
I don't know.
I need to look this up because I could be running out of time if it is and then Maximus will be...
Yeah, look it up anyway, and if you get to go, I recommend you do...
G-I-B-B-S.
Yeah, Gibbs Farm.
Okay.
Yeah. So that gave me sort of inspiration ideas. What can we do in our gardens to make it, like, more interesting or just, you know, something really nice? Because a lot of garden design people or books or, you know, gardeners always emphasise, you need to have a focal point.
Okay.
Or you need, like, hedges and you need this and that. To be like a proper garden.
All right.
So let's explore some of those things we can put in the garden. But I'm kind of thinking, like, my thing with sculpture is I'm not really, I don't think I can afford, like, huge to commission that.
Yeah.
And I'm not really a sculptor. So, I just need, like, little things.
Little trinkets. I have little trinkets in my garden. Like, there was an old bauble that had sort of half broken on the Christmas tree.
Mm.
And so I just found a place to hang. I hang it on my rose plant.
Oh.
And it just sort of, it's just starting to fade a bit now with the sun and all that. But and then another thing that broke was a hair clip.
Yes.
I was gutted. It was a beautiful power shell hair clip that my friend made me. Yeah. I thought, I've got to do something with this. I can't just throw that in the bin. You know, she's put a lot of effort into that. So I put it on the fence, like the power, I just sort of clipped it sort of.
Onto,
so when the light catches it, these little bits of shell.
Cool.
So I just do things like that that
just
I think, you probably wouldn't notice straight away, but
Okay, so just like little decorative touches here and there.
Yeah, you do that, I think, don't you? Yeah.
Kind of. I've done something with like my leftover bread tags.
Oh, did you?
I collected them all up and just stuck them on chicken wire and they're kind of like, you know, something colourful.
Oh, that's cool.
Can't say it's a inspiring art piece, but
oh well, I'm going to have a look at that. I'm intrigued.
Okay, you can actually do quite interesting things with chicken wire, chicken netting. You know that you can shape it into. I've seen people shape them into like people and animals.
Yeah, that's right. And then if you really want to go nuts, although this probably isn't more like outdoorsy, but you put the paper mache over the top of it and that kind of thing.
Yeah, you can do all sorts of, because it's like moulds to anything you want to.
Well, we were talking about clay in our last session, so.
Yeah, well, going on to clay things, pots are very decorative. If you are into that, you can, you can make your own pots, but you can colour coordinate your pots or something.
Yes, or paint them. Nice painted pots, always nice, I reckon. Mm. And it's not hard. No. You get the kids to do it.
Mosaics, they're really good to do, last forever. And there's actually this really cool garden down in Akaroa, called the Giant's House. And
Where's Akaroa again?
Sort of near Christchurch.
Okay.
It's this sort of French type village down there. And she's got this amazing garden that she's mosaiced everything in.
Oh, wow.
And there's this, her name's Josie Martin.
Yeah.
And she was featured in this book called Flourish, which is about New Zealand women gardeners and their gardeners.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got this really cool garden that everyone loves to visit. And she's filled it with, like, mosaic everything. And there's this huge, like, grand piano outside that she's mosaiced, and she's got little succulents in it.
Oh,
it's
cool.
Like, I wish I could go and have a look. But, I've just seen photos of it, but done amazing things with mosaic. And because that lasts a long time, it doesn't fade. It's you just add bits of colour
everywhere.
Sounds
amazing. Have you been down there?
No, not to this garden, but I'd love to go
one
day.
We'll have to put that on the bucket list, Selena.
So if you're a creative and, like, busting up bits of old pottery is quite fun, I imagine.
Yeah, quite therapeutic.
So, and think about doing mosaics for a garden, because you can do like bird baths or sundials or that sort of add a finishing touch. Those are little bits that you can feature in
something
your garden.
Else I've done in my garden that might inspire our listeners.
Yeah.
Okay. Actually, I say I'm not creative, but I think maybe I am without knowing it.
Yeah.
I'm resourceful is probably more the word.
Yeah.
But my grapevine, in the corner of our deck.
Yeah.
It's getting huge. They just don't stop growing. Have you noticed that about vines?
I know. Yeah.
And my darling husband has promised me he's going to build a really strong structure for it, and it's going to look all like great and in place, and like not just like it's basically getting to the point where it's so heavy that I can't, my rope and stuff that I've got sort of holding it up is like, you have to like duck to get under it, you know, it's not really very functional. So what I did was I used my old, I've got a wine barrel, half wine barrel. I grabbed a 2x4 piece of wood that's, about that and about 1.5 meters long, and a big block of wood. I don't even know, it just came with the house.
Yeah.
That's like just a square block, heavy block of wood. I don't quite, it's like maybe a foot long. It's just a big chunk. And I put one on top of the other with a pole holding up my grapevine, and it's working splendidly.
Wonderful.
You can actually walk underneath it now. I gave up waiting for Pierre to build a structure.
Yeah.
And so I just need to hold this thing up so people can get underneath it and not be like swamped by vines and stuff.
Great idea.
And I thought if I just applied a bit of paint to that, it would look like some sort of like sculpture. I could call it maybe the block and brick, I don't know, something structure, or barrel and brick. Barrel and block.
Jacob's ladder. That's
something
one.
Like that, and like do something with it and actually turn it into something rather than just something that's holding something up.
Yeah.
I could turn it into a sculpture.
Get inspired, because pillars give it a bit of height.
And I haven't had to spend a cent. You look around your property, guys, and say, what could I do with my own resources?
Yeah.
And get creative. Get out the paint, you know, or all your mosaics.
Yeah.
You know, stick them to it.
Another thing you could do is collect driftwood. People are very creative with that.
Yeah, my mum's big on that, coming from Sandspit and all.
Yeah.
She's got a beautiful driftwood, not so much, well, maybe you can call it sculpture, with plants in it. Yeah. And
amazing. I've seen people make animals, like huge ones, figures out of driftwood.
And have you noticed that a lot of plants, well, more of the like succulent variety, they really like growing in it?
Yeah.
It's interesting.
And succulents are a very good sculptural type of plant.
They are indeed.
You can be very creative with them, and you can make them into patterns, grow them in little patterns and shapes, and, you know, make letters out of them, or, you know, put them inside pianos if you want to.
Some of them get really big too, so you can have, like, you know how you were saying about having a focal point?
Yeah.
Some places I've seen around the place have huge cactuses or succulents.
Yes.
And then the sort of the garden sort of stems from that. It's quite cool.
It's amazing, a feature, which is, brings us to our sort of sculptural plants sort of idea, using plants as sculpture and admiring them for their shape and form.
Why not? Just use like a beautiful plant to do the job. Yeah.
And so when you're thinking about designing your garden, or you want to make a feature of it, think about the shapes of the plants and how they will look with each other or alone, because, you know, you can do all sorts of things with them. And make your garden a work of art. And there's also, but this is more in the sort of colder, more temperate climates, the art of topiary. People can just go nuts with. Like Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And
I've seen pretty amazing things done, like clipped into cones and little spirals and figures and like,
You kind of got to know what you're doing with that. But, you know, I think I could maybe just go for a simple maybe circle.
Yeah, you could have little balls.
Circle with talking 3D.
Spheres. Yeah. Domes.
Start simple.
Yeah.
And then maybe make it look like Shrek from thereafter, like big dome head. Yeah. And then maybe add some ears.
Okay. If you're not into clipping so much, people came up with this other idea, sort of like topiary, except they've like made little wire forms or shapes out of wire, and then grown ivy or something climbing over it, so it will grow to the shape of whatever you've shaped.
Oh, okay.
So instead of clipping a box, a hedge or something like that, which you have to keep doing all the time, grow a vine or something like ivy over some wire.
And have you seen that done?
Yeah, so they have like heart shapes.
Oh, wow.
And they have animals.
And ivy will grow anywhere. Yeah. So like I'm so sick of my ivy growing all over my fence and gate. It's just a nightmare. It's a constant battle.
Yeah.
I need to redirect it. That's a good idea.
Yeah. So the world is your oyster. If you want to be creative, you can do most anything with plants.
Okay. Right. Okay, well, I'll be checking in on your garden to see where you're at with your creativity sometime. Oh. I don't know. I'll give you 6 months.
Okay. I've just got little ornaments tucked here and there amongst the plants. Not gnomes, but little things.
I'm expecting to see some big shaped hedges. Mind you, your father's more of the hedge master.
Yeah, he's more into the clipping. I would just give one tip for listeners. If you go into the garden centre or the warehouse or Mitre 10 and you're looking for the ready-made garden sculpture things, I would just warn you that anything that's made of metal is maybe going to rust in a few years.
Oh, yeah, true that.
So I wouldn't recommend buying a lot of what's on sale there, just because it just falls apart. But
okay.
There you go. Right.
Good tip. It's true, though. They look nice in the shop.
Yeah, they look nice in the shop, but after a while, you know, the rain that we get.
Oh, I do actually have another. I got a Christmas sculpture. What am I? I forgot about that. should mention, can I quickly mention this?
Go.
Okay. There's this guy in New Zealand that makes metal birds.
Yes.
Have you heard of this guy there?
Maybe.
I think they're just called Metal Bird or something. That's the website.
Yeah.
And they're black. I think they're like powder coated or something. And they're all native birds. So I, Pierre and I bought my mother and her partner. He got a kereru. And my mother got a moorhawk. So both big birds.
Yeah.
And they have a little point where you can just hammer them into a tree or whatever. Yeah. And it's really, really beautiful. And what happens over time is they rust. So they start going from black to, a, you know, orangey. And they will last, though. They're designed to do that.
Yeah.
And it's such a beautiful story because They're a good, beautiful structure. The detail and everything's just gorgeous. And you can't have enough birds in your garden. Oh. But what his wife died of cancer.
Oh.
Yeah, and so what he did as part of his sort of healing process was he loves metalwork, so he loved and birds. So he went into sort of spent a lot of time just doing that in his garage and, you know, healing and all that.
Yeah.
And what he'd do is he'd stick these birds all over. I don't know which region it was in. It was on the news last year, and that's what gave us the idea.
Oh.
So it's local, which is cool. Yeah. And everywhere him and his wife did special things or went for a walk in the park or whatever, he'd hammer in one of these beautiful metal birds into the tree or wherever around
they
town.
Like life-size birds?
Yes.
Not huge
so
ones.
I got given a little pea waka waka.
Oh,
and
great.
I've actually, I just hammered that into our deck pole, one of our poles.
I've got to see
it's
that.
So, that's a really nice one to do. Yeah. Littlebird.co.nz, I think, was the website.
Okay. I've just got one more idea for listeners. I saw this in actually a book of Prince Charles's beautiful Highgrove garden.
Oh, yes.
And of course, he likes.
Stunning.
It is stunning. Yeah. But maybe you could take some ideas from it.
Yeah.
He's got this thing called the stumpery.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like just stumps of trees, but arranged artfully. And then you've got ferns growing out of them and stuff.
So well, that's simple enough.
Don't throw away your old logs or anything.
Yeah.
You can make something out of them.
Yeah, for sure. And mushrooms love growing out of them and all sorts, actually, if you give it time.
And if you, like, coat them with yogurt and something, you can grow lichen on them so it makes them look old. And
oh, right.
Yeah, it can be like a fairy garden, So have a think about doing that.
Yeah. I have actually done that. I'm doing all these things without even knowing it.
Yeah,
in my garden where the bird of paradise is growing. It's huge. It's like probably about 5 metres tall now.
Yeah.
Which is great though because it blocks my neighbour's kitchen window so she doesn't have to stare at me all day, poor lady. But I had to hack it back a bit. It was just getting like really massive.
Yeah, they do.
So I took out like a whole maybe 2 or 3 trunks of it.
Mm.
Like 20 centimetre trunks. And I thought, oh, what am I going to do with just sort of as a trunk sitting there?
Yeah.
There's still obviously some left, some bird of paradise left. But I chuck some soil sort of into the, I made a little thing for it and put some of those, I think, was it you that gave me some winter roses or maybe my mother did and I popped them into it.
So they were like a pot for them.
Yeah, so it's become like a space for other things to grow rather than just like a stump that's been cut.
Yeah,
and that seems to be working quite nice. And other things are growing in out in the area and out of it, like ferns and wild things like that too. So, that's coming along nicely.
All right, Carol, I've talked enough. How about we go to your plant of the week?
Of all the saddest words that I have ever heard, the saddest is a story told me by a bird. You'd spend about an hour chatting with a flower, and here's the tale the flower told. Quote, I'm a lonely little petunia in an onion patch.
An onion patch.
Okay, so Schefflera digitata, also known as the seven finger, the umbrella tree or pate in Maori, is a plant which is endemic to New Zealand. I did not know this.
No.
So I'm pleasantly surprised because I've got lots of it at my place, in the front part of my place, in the entranceway. It is our New Zealand representative of the Schefflera genus, of which exist 200 species of shrubs and small trees within the tropics and subtropics. The seven finger plant is a small spreading tree that can grow up to 8 meters high with stout branches. The species of digitata refers to the leaf type, meaning having divisions arranged like those of the digits of a hand. So if you hold your hand out splayed, looks like that. Or a bird's foot. The leaves may have from 3 to 9 leaflets that are lanceolate. Do you remember that word? Remember that one?
Kind of like a spear.
A
lance.
Yay. Yes. And have sharply serrated margins. So very sculptural in that sense. And they, because they're stout, they spread out wide. Oh, okay. So you can't miss them. Yeah.
Do they look like an umbrella? Is that why it's called umbrella?
Yes, yeah, because it spreads out like an umbrella, maybe. Yeah, I had never really thought of that. Not something that came to mind. I think more bird's foot, because it just all comes out from the one point.
Yeah.
But each to their own. The flowers are in the form of a 7 millimeter diameter umbel, which is described as a cluster of stalks of nearly equal length that spring from a common centre and form a flat or curved surface. The umbel is one such characteristic of the parsley family flower, just in case you wondered what the heck I'm going on about.
They look like umbrella type things.
They do.
Or pom-poms.
The plant produces dark violet fleshy fruits, 3.5 mil in diameter. So if you want to grow one of these, they prefer to grow in damp, shady areas and is common along stream banks and on the shady sides of forest paths and roads. So, in my house it's in a shady area.
Mm-hmm.
It is a hardy plant and will readily self-seed, and I know this because they just pop up everywhere. So if you want one, I've got plenty. However, is not tolerant of prolonged cold conditions. I'll just quickly go into the medicinal uses. In the past, it's been used to treat various infections of the skin, including ringworm. And what else is there that I can fit in to tell you about it? This is really interesting. The seven-finger plant also comes in useful as the most common host of the root parasitic plant woodrose, known to the Maori as the flower of the underworld. Woodrose is a fully parasitic plant, meaning that it is lacking chlorophyll and so derives its total food supply from the plant host root system.
Oh.
So it's got these little parasites hanging off its roots as well, which is super cool. And that's something that I would really like to get into one day in the future. Parasite plants.
Okay.
Yeah. So, did you know that they're found in every biome? These parasitic plants. Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, we'll find out more when we do an episode on it, eh?
Yeah. So I think that's about all.
Oh, so it's quite a sculptural-looking plant, you reckon?
Very much so. Yeah. So,
beautiful.
Go for it, guys. It's super easy to grow. Yep. The Maori even used to use the dried wood to make fire from this plant.
Okay.
There was another use that I wasn't sure if I'd have time to mention, but that was interesting. So if you need fire as well.
Covers all the
dry
bases.
So that is, the Schefflera digitata.
Schefflera digitata.
Look it up. And if you need any seedlings, send me an email. I'll hook you up.
Oh, will do. How about listeners send us an email at gardenplanetfm@gmail.com.
Sounds good.
Yeah, if you're interested in that plant.
Yeah. Or I'm pretty sure I've offered other plants as well.
Yeah.
It sounds a bit dodgy.
I'd love to chat with you.
Anything. We're here to help you guys.
All righty.
You know?
Yeah.
In any way, shape or form. No question or request is silly in our books, eh, Selena?
Let's just, be an inundation.
I'll just forward them on to you, mate.
Okay.
Yeah. All good, guys. Send them through.
All right. Happy gardening, everyone. And, enjoy being creative in your garden.
Oh, will do, Selena. See you, everyone. Ka kite anō.